Session number 17675, Sergeant Frederick White, Reel 2.
Sergeant White, Reel 2. You were telling me about the barracks, saying that they had a veranda all the way round.
Yes.
The barrack rooms.
The barrack rooms were very large, as many as 20 soldiers in a barrack room. The middle part then was a large area that's usually used for stores, but in our case was used as a band practice room and for the band library.
So you were in the band barracks?
Yes.
Were they a separate block?
We was in a separate block, yes.
How many members of the band were there at that time?
Must have been about 40.
So it's a substantial body of men.
Yes.
What did they do with you once you'd arrived?
Well, when we arrived, we were, actual fact, given another medical out there. It was a bit better. You had your own medical officer belonging to the regiment. And we were then kitted out properly. This is another peculiar thing, what we got issued with. We was given 3 sheets, 2 pillowcases, 4 blankets, and what we call biscuit covers, which was your mattress covers, 3 of them. Now, wherever you went in India, you took your bedding with you. So the regiment had nothing more to do with you as far as bedding were concerned. And every time you moved to a different location, like another station, you'd already emptied your mattresses of the core, what we had in there, and you had another store in the new barracks where you went to, which had been used by previous soldiers, and remade your mattresses up again.
You stuffed them with choir then, every
yes.
time.
Yeah. And this happened all the time I was in India.
Every time you moved, you
every time
took
we moved,
the bed with you.
You took your own bedding with you.
What about the uniform that you were issued with out in India? Did that differ from the KD you've been given in England?
No, we had KD, we had trousers and shorts, and the shirts were different as well, being thinner. Being in the band, we also had a white uniform issued. We had topies issued, which in those days were made of cork, and the time the puggri was put on, that was quite heavy. With the white uniform, we had a white topi with a puggri and a brass spike and a brass chain over it, made it even more heavier. I've got a photograph of that if you want to see it. Otherwise, we got issued with quite good uniforms out there.
You find the uniforms comfortable?
Yes.
Are they practical as well?
Yes, practical, yes, as well. For the when the summer came along, it became very hot then.
Did you stay in Bareilly during the summer?
Did we what?
Did you stay in Bareilly summer and winter?
No. It was always tried that the regiment would go into a hill station in the Himalayas. Not all together. There would be probably a company at a time, and the band would also take either 3 months or up to 4 or 5 months there.
Up in the hills?
Up in the hills. But the boys had to stay there the summer. So if the band only was there for the short period, the boys stayed behind and the band went back to Bareilly.
What was the daily routine of work like then when you were in India, Bareilly?
Once again, as the usual thing, you were a little bit different. You had to get up early in the morning, and everybody got issued with gunfire.
What's gunfire?
Now, what is gunfire? Gunfire, in actual fact, is a mug of tea.
Is that so?
Yeah, that's what they called it. You'd already made your bed up, and then you, in gym shorts and a gym vest, you then went out and did a half an hour's physical training under the band NCOs. This meant jumping around, arm exercises and things like that. This was a good thing because you had to keep fit in India. After that, it was breakfast. Then there was a room inspection. And then you then got ready for band practice.
Was the breakfast the same kind of thing as you'd have had in England?
No, you had a lot of meat in India. You always had, I'll use the first word, what they use, Indian word, which is burgoo. That's porridge. And then you always seem to have meat for breakfast with potatoes.
Meat and potatoes?
Yes.
How was it cooked? Was it curried or was it...
No, not curried in there. We only had curry once a week in India. That was on a Friday. It was always a stew. Pretty strong at that. After breakfast, then it was then band practice.
And how long would that go on for?
Well, this went on till about 10:30, and then we had a short tea break. And then that carried on then to 12:30.
What did the band do when it was practicing? Was it concentrating on individuals playing their instruments, or playing collectively, or playing and marching? You know, what kind of things were you doing?
One of the things the band had to practice for every week was they had to play at the officers' mess once a week, and the officers had picked the programme what they wanted to play, and if it wasn't enough, then the bandmaster would pick the rest. And this had to be practiced during the week. And then also you then split up into groups. We say the reed section would be then practicing their parts, or the brass section. Or as with the boys, we might be taken individually with an NCO for music instruction, which is a big improvement what we're getting in Aldershot.
I was about to say that this must have been a change from Aldershot.
Yes.
Because there you'd had no proper instruction.
No proper there, but here it was.
And you were still playing, were you still playing the clarinet? Or
I was playing the clarinet, yes. Then again, dinner time. And then about 2:00, we then have band practice again, either grouped or all together or individually, as the bandmaster wanted it. This carried on to about 4:30. We then had tea, and then about 5:30 to 6:30, the boys would then have another hour's practice.
Bringing you up to strength.
Yes. So we're usually with one of the NCOs there.
How did the NCO teach you to play? What was his method of instruction?
Well, I mean, obviously we didn't really know how to read the music, you know, what it was all about. And he would tell us... how it should be played, what it representative, not all in one sort of tone. You've got to give a description of the how to play the piece of music. And also you had to learn scales, which is most uninteresting but very important.
Going up and down the scale.
Yes.
Scale,
which we had to learn by heart.
How many boys did he have in his class when he was instructing you?
Well, in actual fact, it would only be the one NCO, and he would probably only spend a few minutes with you going round to each boy in turn during that hour. So we didn't have you didn't wasn't under instruction for the complete hour, but it was keeping an eye on you that you were still practicing.
So you were going up and down the scales on your own?
Yes, scales or whatever the piece he'd given you to learn.
What sort of pieces were you given to learn? Do you remember any of the tunes you had to memorise and perfect?
Well, a lot of it was because we did a lot of band had to do a lot of route marches in India, and had to play, so we had to learn marches.
Do you remember which marches were particularly popular?
What, the name of the marches, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, you're taking me back now. One was called the Tin Red Line. Colonel Bogey, a very old favourite. Sombre et Muse, which is a band and bugle march from the French.
I know it very well.
You know it very well.
I do. It's a French light infantry march.
Yes.
Chasseur à pied.
Mm. And yes. Then, I can't remember the other first name.
Do you remember what sort of music the officers like played at their mess functions?
Yes. In those days, you had a lot of music for shows in London. And then there was somebody from Boozy and Hawks or some big firm like that would then get it written out for military bands. And from these shows, we always it was pretty well up to date, and quite often the officers used to choose those. But obviously the officers, some of them knew a bit about music or had some knowledge, and they would also pick some classical pieces as well, which we had to play.
Do you remember any of those?
Oh. Unfinished Symphony, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky's music.
What did you enjoy playing most when you were at that age?
I think the musical programmes, though later on I liked the classical better.
And the marching was pure business?
That was pure business, yes.
You mentioned route marching. Did you go on those route marches when you were a boy? Or?
Yes. Not all boys went. I was fairly big for my age, and I think there was three boys went on the route marches with the band.
And you'd be playing your clarinet on
playing the clarinet, yes.
When you went on a route march, roughly how far would you go? What sort of distance were you covering?
16 to 20 miles.
And how long would that take?
All day.
And that would be the whole battalion?
Yes.
How often would they do a march like that?
About once a month.
About once a month they'd go out and do a 20-mile march?
Yes. And then another thing about that is that as a boy, which he was a boy up to 18 years of age, by the way.
And then you were a man.
Yes. You was not allowed to smoke. But boys will be boys. And ever more for the devilment of it, you smoked when you could the odd cigarette. If you got caught, you got punished.
What were the punishments?
Well, in India, Thursday was always a holiday. And this is goes way back to Queen Victoria's days, that they had gave the army the day off on Thursdays. For the boys, it was the worst day of the week.
Why was that?
Well, because the NCO in charge of the boys wanted a quiet life, and all during the week he would find fault with you for something, or you got caught smoking. So when on Thursday, you then got told to report to the provost sergeant, and then he gave you work all day long.
What sort of work?
Mostly cleaning up barracks. They had tons and tons of whitewash and what we call red ochre, and all the pathways had these stones put round, and these always had to be always painted. And then in the evening we had the report back. For pack drill.
Tell me about pack drill.
Well, we wasn't allowed to have rifles in those days, the boys, and we only had a very light equipment. But by the time we got to the guard room, there was a pack filled with bricks, and beside it was an army issue pick. So you had to wear this pack, and you had to hold this pick instead of a rifle. Got to explain something else now, what they're leading up to this, that in the ablutions, which was always outside the barrack block, was a sort of block on its own, and the water didn't go down drains. They had several yards square of earth that had been dug up, and the water would run into that. And there were several of these, and as one got filled up, that got stopped by an Indian labourer there who looked after the place, and the water would run into another one. So several of these places were filled with water, so it was deep mud, and then we had to march through that backwards and forwards with this heavy pack
and a pick.
And the pick.
How deep was the mud?
Well, it was ankle deep. Soldiers also had to do this, and it lasted an hour. But after about 40 minutes, the men were dismissed, and the boys had to carry on for the full hour. They wanted to break you down, but they never did do. We wouldn't give in. Pretty tough.
Did you get that often?
Not too often, but was the few times I did do it, wasn't very nice.
So you were caught occasionally?
Yes. But after about 2 years out there, it got stopped. But it should never have started, really, in my opinion, anyway.
You're saying that you had an Indian who looked after the ablutions block. I was going to ask you whether you had a lot of Indians actually in the barracks working.
Yeah, there were quite a few. They would do the outside cleaning up mostly while the soldiers got on with their training and things like that. And these ablution places were kept by these Indians. There was always the low caste Indians. We treated them all right. Higher class Indians outside wouldn't.
So you were on reasonable terms with them?
Yes.
Did they speak English, or did you pick up some
Hindustani? We picked up enough Urdu to they Urdu. Would understand us.
Who brought you your gunfire tea in the morning? Was that...
No, we went to the cookhouse.
Oh, you went to the cookhouse?
Yes.
You didn't have an orderly bringing it
around? Yes.
Who did the cooking? Was that your own cooks, or did you have Indians?
We always had one English cook. Yes. We had... this is by companies, by the way.
Company cookhouse.
Yes. And he had Indian cooks with him. And one thing we didn't do, spud peeling got finished out there. These Indian cooks did it.
That must have been a relief.
That was another relief.
You were saying that normally Thursday was a holiday for the army in India. If you weren't caught for punishment, what did you do on a Thursday?
Well, strictly speaking, just lazed around and cleaned your kit. That was what it was. But another thing in India, though, we did do a lot of sport. So, in fact, it was not unknown to play two games of football or two games of hockey one day.
Would that be in the afternoon, normally, or in the early evening, or what time of day would it be?
Either if it's on a Thursday, it could be early morning and yes. evening, but not in the summer, not during the day. But in the winter time, of course, it could have been done any time. And also, cross-country running, which was taken up again.
What was the country like around there?
Very flat, very uninteresting. The town of Brady, which was, say, about 4 or 5 miles away, was out of bounds.
You weren't allowed to go into it?
We were not allowed to go into it. Now, the only thing we had was these big barrack blocks which spread out quite a large area, and the only other troops was there was a battery of artillery. Naffy was unknown in those days. We had an Indian contractor that ran the canteen, refreshments, billiard thing, and cinema.
What sort of things would you get in the canteen?
It was mostly tea and cakes that soldiers could buy, or pies. Then there was what you call a charwala. So in other words, he sold tea, but he used to come round in the day and in your tea break, and you would get your tea and your cake then if you had the money for it. In the evenings, he would come round again, and he would have a sort of a brazier fire there, and he'd probably have pieces of chicken being cooked on it.
Well, early Indian takeaway.
Yes, Indian takeaway.
Did you find that your pay was adequate or was better in India than it had been in England?
No, it wasn't any better there. We had, I'll say, the pay for a boy was 1 shilling a day. When we got to India, we used rupees and annas. And we found that we're supposed to have got 15 rupees to the pound. I've never worked this out, really, because nowadays it's over 50.
Rupee has gone down over the years, then.
I would have thought it had gone up, but now they've more modernised a certain amount.
Well, if it's 50 now and it was 15, then it
yes,
hasn't.
Yes, I know.
Did you normally have enough to buy your tea and cakes and little luxuries like that?
Not really.
Why was that? Was it because of stoppages or just because of
the... There was another thing, you see, what the army did. That there was any damages done in the barracks or anything like that, you had a stoppage of pay. Yeah. Everybody got it. You really didn't know what it was for half the time. So 10% up to 25% of your money could be taken away from you and you never got it.
Oh.
So... sometimes we would then get 3 rupees a week, which didn't go very far.
Now, you've been saying that as a boy you weren't allowed to smoke and you were punished quite severely if you were caught.
Mm.
What about the question of drinking? Were you allowed to have beer or other drinks?
No, we was not allowed to drink either. There was only one place you could drink, that was in this canteen run by... the Indian contractor, Harry Chan Kapoor, I'll never forget his name, and that the drinking only took place there. Nothing was brought into the barrack room or brought anywhere else.
But were you, as a boy, allowed to drink in the canteen?
No, wasn't allowed in it.
You weren't allowed in the canteen?
No.
And you mentioned that he ran a cinema as well.
Yes, well, in Brady in those days, 1930-31, the cinema was very, very basic again. It was only a sort of a converted building. The officers sat in armchairs in the front, and the troops sat in forms at the back.
What sort of films did they show?
Mostly old black and white films, and every reel there would be an interval while the reel was changed.
Do you remember any of the titles that they showed?
Well, I remember. Oh, one minute. I can't remember the titles back in those days. It was nearly all old type of Lon Chaney and people like that.
Now, you said earlier on that you were also doing education when you were in India. That was when you got your first class certificate.
Yes. Well, this was when we went up to the hill stations, a place called Ranikit. It was quite nice up in those places because you got away from the heat. The barrack blocks were again very primitive. You didn't have the verandas around there. It was more like the order shop ones. Once again, of course, you had to make your own bedding up and things like that. But anyway, three boys had been picked out by the band sergeant, I think, that they should go for their first class certificate of education. I wasn't one of them. After several days, they came back and said, "Oh, it's quite nice up there, is it? No band practice to do. The schoolmaster doesn't mind you smoking." So I picked my ears up at this. I thought, well, I wasn't all that keen of being a good musician still, and more or less for devilment. I asked if I could go on it, so they let me. So the schoolmaster, by the way, is still an army WO1
warrant officer.
Warrant officer. And he said, "All I'm going to teach you is enough to pass this examination. Now, don't go any further than that." And he used to have old exam papers to give you an idea of what the exams would be like that. And so we went several weeks on this sort of thing. And it was getting near the exam time. Besides the three boys, there was also some soldiers from the regiment in the classroom. And he went round the and gave his opinion who would pass. He got to me and said, "No, you won't pass." Probably I wasn't showing all that keenness. Anyway, came to the examination. And surprise, surprise, out of the four boys, I was the only one that did pass.
That must have been a surprise for the schoolmaster.
Yeah. So I must have absorbed more than what he thought he did.
Do you remember what it was all about? What the exam was about and what the syllabus
was? Well,
it was
a more difficult part of mathematics, English, geography, history, and map reading.
So basic school subjects and one military subject.
Yes, that came in it. So, I passed it, and I was very pleased with myself for a change.
did it bring you any advantage? Did you get extra pay for passing?
No, not then, but it did. I got the advantage later on in life from it, through having that qualification.
You said that besides your battalion in the camp at Bareilly, you also had an artillery Was that a battery or a whole regiment?
No, a battery.
A battery. Mm. Did you have anything to do with them while you were there?
Yes. As a boy, not too much. I mean, as I said, there was a lot of sport, so there was the nearest other people to play sport with, so we did play against them.
What were the sports in India? Were they the same as
they've been? Mostly
in
football in those days.
Mostly football.
And hockey and cross-country running. One of the years there, the battalion won the big football competition in India, where the Indian clubs would play as well, sort of amateur thing. And our regiment of team won it. And the same year, this artillery team won the artillery trophy. So
you'd say, again, your pro forma, that you also started getting some instruction in military skills when you got out to India, weapon training.
Well, yes, when you got to near your 18th birthday,
yes,
the regimental sergeant major took an interest in you.
Was that
the RSM?
Was that a pleasant experience, having the RSM take an interest in you?
Yes, because there was we had some good RSMs in those days, in actual fact.
So it was a benevolent interest.
Very strict.
Yes.
But they knew...